Jonah was obedient to God. He gave the message to the Ninevite people. I think that I can, and maybe others feel the same way. We're so busy being patient and understanding that we're not really giving the message. I find the hard part for me is to be able to speak that truth in a situation where, not that it won't go over well.
It's uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah.
Welcome to Study with Friends. We are a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through His Word. This week is part 3 of our study in the book of Jonah. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. When you can't be with us here, we love being able to encourage you there. Let's talk a little bit more about the patience in the book of Jonah.
Today we're talking about Jonah. Go on any page of our website, studywithfriends.org, and just search Jonah and you'll find this material that we're putting in there for you today. And put some comments in and let us see what you're learning. Let us learn from you too.
I think you were asking, do we have a harder time being patient with believers or non-believers? But I was sort of interpreting it, do I have a hard time or not being patient with non-believers? I feel like I often fall on the other end of the spectrum when it comes to my relationship with non-believers and believers as well, I suppose. I feel like I am somehow able to be patient with them, which is certainly not a credit to myself because I don't have the balance. My hard time and difficulty is in delivering the message. I mean that Jonah was obedient to God. He gave the message to the Ninevite people. I think that I can, and maybe others feel the same way. We're so busy being patient and understanding that we're not really giving the message. I find the hard part for me is to be able to speak that truth in a situation where, not that it won't go over well.
It's uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm very free to share about my faith, whether it's with a believer or unbeliever, and how God has impacted my life. And I find that the most comfortable way to relay the nature of God and my relationship
because
with Him.
Because it's not pointing a finger away, it's pointing a finger to.
Yep. Right.
Most people receive that better too.
Yeah.
So you're erring on the side of waiting for God to do something in their heart when He might be tugging on you to say, the time for patience is over.
Exactly.
And you need to say something now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's good. I hadn't thought about that. Do you have any comment about being patient, Leanne, with non-believers?
No, I think I have more patience that way, but I'm really struck by what Cindy was saying and just thinking about that and how true that is, that there's a reluctancy to speak up in particular to people who don't share the same kind of faith or thinking that I have in fear of being judgmental or
losing just the relationship.
Yeah. Or who am I? Or if I am wrong, maybe I'm not supposed to say that. So I think the overly patient piece, I was just struck by that when you said that. That was really good.
Yeah, that is good. What I recognize about myself is there's some sort of internal expiration date where I'll work with non-believers and stick with them and be friendly to them. But then if they show no movement at all, I lose interest. I'm like, okay, I'm not getting through to you. And I can even make a point of like, okay, then I'm not the one. I'm not the one who's supposed to show you. I'm just going to back off. And that's not necessarily biblical. That's probably just me running out of patience for like, you should have gotten there by now. If and when a non-believer becomes a negative influence on me and I feel myself being sucked down instead of being able to pull them up, I have to take a step back because I have children to raise and I have the things that God's called me to do. And if I'm not being a good steward of my own spiritual health, that's not good either. But to be fair, there have been times when I'm like, really, I don't like that. And it gave me a new understanding of what patience really is. It is staying for a long time through the suffering. That's really hard.
It's tiring.
it's exhausting. And that's what I was becoming a little bit more self-aware of when I looked at this, being patient with non-believers. I mean, I think I have, I don't know, a little bit of lack of patience for both people groups. I have a little bit.
For people in general.
And then I hit the wall and I'm like, ugh, let's go ahead to 4. Let's read it and then let's unpack that a little bit.
All right. Jonah 4:1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry.
Okay. Tell me what he's angry about.
Well, he's angry that God showed compassion to the people of Nineveh.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think because they were so evil in their ways. And I think there's probably a sense of justice and fairness that is coming up for Jonah for sure.
I agree. Yeah. And to add to that, I may have said this earlier, but Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which was Israel's most dreaded enemy at the time. So God sending him out of Israel and sending him to their enemy to try and save them. Mm-hmm. Well, in our human nature, who wants that?
Not Jonah.
Yeah, right. We want to be able to say, I told you so.
And right. You know what is great about Jonah is, I'm just going to read it. He says, this is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious God, a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. And I'm mad about it. I kind of get it.
Yeah.
I feel like if we are his chosen people, shouldn't we get some special treatment? But the beauty of the prophet here is that he's like, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to still be the same. I knew you were going to still be the same God you've always been, slow to anger and abounding in love. Darn it. And I didn't want that for them. I wanted them to suffer and die and burn and get what they deserved in my book. And I'm mad that you didn't give them that. Of course, it's wrong, but we'd be fooling ourselves if we said we didn't feel like... My mom used to say when I was little, this word called comeuppance. Often it was like someone who would like fly by her on the highway and she'll say, oh, he'll get his comeuppance. We'd drive past a few miles later and he's pulled over by a policeman. She'd say, see, he got his comeuppance. But she used it all the time. And that's what Jonah wasn't getting. And really, it's not necessarily true in God's economy. Like God wishes for us all to know him and love him and have a relationship with him. But the truth is, spoiler alert, Nineveh did get destroyed eventually. And what's funny is that God does not comfort Jonah with that information. No. As his prophet. He doesn't say, don't worry, Jonah, this is only for a time. It is Israel who will be saved and preserved through all the years and not Nineveh. Because, of course, God knew that at that time. And so the whole thing seems like an exercise in what? What are we supposed to learn from this? We know that Jonah really didn't learn anything. And he was mad about it. And well, we can't say for sure what happened after chapter 4, verse 11. Hopefully he figured it out during the course of his life. But there's a lot of open-ended stuff in chapter 4 where you're just like, that's an abrupt ending.
Yes.
And you do want to know the end of the story. And God did know the end of the story, but he didn't put it in here. What do you think that's about?
Trust, I think. I often want to know the end of the story, how things are going to work out. God, if you just tell me, you know, what to do, I'll do it. Or if you just tell me how this is going to turn out, I'll be okay with it either way. Mm-hmm. But when we don't know the answer, it forces us to be in a closer relationship with him in order mm-hmm. to figure it out.
Yes. Well, and I think we do see a revelation of what God's going for here. Even though it appears that Jonah didn't get it, I think we can get it. And it's in chapter 4, verses 4. And 9 in isolation. Would one of you read those 2 verses in isolation?
Verse 4. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine?
Okay, so what's he saying in those 2 verses in isolation? We see Jonah's just ticked off. And so what's God's response to him? We see it in 2 circumstances here. What do you think God's saying?
You have no right to be angry. I mean, the Bible says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. If God can forgive Jonah for his disobedience, then that's what we're to display to others.
Yeah. How about maybe a message of, this is my decision. I didn't really ask you for your opinion.
Mm-hmm. What I wrote down in the homework was, God is God, and God's forgiveness was not just for Israel.
The key being... The first 2-3 words you said, God is God. Mm-hmm. And we're never, I mean, this is years, thousands of years ago, and we're looking at it through that lens, and we still don't totally get all of it. We're never going to get all of it. What you said at the outset of this question, which was trust. Do I trust that he has a plan and that it's well thought out and complete? Or do I think I know better? Because that's what Jonah thought. He thought he knew better. And I can totally relate to that. I'm like, well, that can't be right. How can that be right, God? That's just wrong. That's what I think God was saying to Jonah. Who do you think you are that you're entitled to know the whole plan? I don't think Jonah was receiving that, but I think that's what God's saying. Do you agree, or do you think I'm making a leap?
No, I think that is exactly what he's saying.
Do you struggle with that? I mean, I know none of us would admit this, but have you ever had a moment where you're like, you can't be right on this one? You must have gotten this one wrong.
I mean, I think I say that in a half-hearted way a lot, but I don't try to do a check that, do I really believe that? I don't really believe I know best. Sometimes I question what God's doing. It's led me down certain paths where I'm like, are you sure this is where you want me? Is this really what you think I can do this? Those are the things that
Well, and I know I'm not going to bring stuff up that you don't want to talk about, but I also know there have been things that have happened to people in your life that you look at these circumstances and you're like, how can that be right? And so I think what you said about, I question it, but that's really good, Leanne, because in the questioning is when we draw closer to him, right? If we really truly say, I don't get it, show me or help me get there.
Okay, I feel like I just want to share something. And so this morning when I had some quiet time, I was led to Hebrews 11, really verse 6, but then I wound up reading all of chapter 11, which is about faith and it's now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And it goes on, and it just gives each example of the Old Testament about Abraham's faith and Moses' faith and on and on and on, which, you know, I've read before. But then verse 39 and 40, it just struck me. And when you asked Cindy the question about trust, and obviously I was like, well, it's faith. And verse 39, Hebrews 11, verse 39, he's summarizing all of these people in the Old Testament who have done the things that God had asked them to do. And it says, these were all commended. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. And then verse 40, God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Mm. That just was a comfort for me in that sometimes I think I know what God's saying and I don't see it. I don't see the result of it right away, that I just need to be even patient with myself and with God, and then in his timing, mm-hmm. He has something better for me planned that. So I don't know. I don't know if that's
What's interesting? That reminds me, and I don't have the scripture right off the top of my head, although I might be able to pull it up, is what happened with John the Baptist. He was in jail and he sent a messenger to Jesus and said, are you the one I thought you were? Did I get this wrong?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to die. So tell me, because that's a bummer. Do you know the passage I'm talking about? It's the same thing, Leanne. It's almost like this reminder that on this side of heaven, we're not actually going to get the whole thing. It's Matthew 11. And it says, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preaching the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And you know, what's in that question is, I was proclaiming your coming. This was my life's work. I'm about to die. Was I wrong? Jesus doesn't give him a word of comfort and say, no, you were not wrong. He doesn't give him a direct answer. He says, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Then it goes on to say, as John's disciples were leaving. So we know that's it. That's all they got.
Yep.
And that reminds me of the same thing. There was actually, I had an experience several years ago where I had a mom in one of my Bible studies whose son had committed suicide. And the time came for us to talk about a passage like this. And I explained to her that what I really believe is that Jesus was saying, see what's happening, keep your faith. And then John died and God was like, now sit right here and watch what I'm going to do. I mean, wouldn't it have been great for John the Baptist to have been at the resurrection?